CliffCentral.com.
With load shedding, thanks to our extremely competent and fantastic government. So, you know, we're going to try and keep the show together. I mean, what can I say? Sia and I are a little bit annoyed because we were meant to record our TV show today as well, and they've got technical issues, so we can't even do that. So it's like one of those Mondays where you actually... Yeah, you just want to climb under the blankets and just pretend that Monday didn't even come. And then I woke up this morning and I was like, well, that's strange. There's my lamp's not working. And I got up and I went to the bathroom and that light wasn't working. I was like, oh, Christ, they got load shedding. Now, let me tell you something. By the way, Mbulelo, you'll just give us the thumbs up if you can hear us properly now, right?
He should be able to.
Just let us know.
Monitor that.
Okay. Yeah, and if you're trying to watch us on Webinar Jam this morning, Leanne and Sia are there, but if I switch on my camera, then there's too little bandwidth for sound and for video. So it's going to be a really strange thing to watch. Anyway, I thought about this just a couple of minutes ago. I thought, if they're having to load shed at this time of the morning, on a weekday when there aren't that many people using electricity in the first place, when heavy industry isn't open, a lot of commercial places aren't allowed to open because there's a curfew until six anyway. So nothing's happening right now except a little bit of domestic use. You must know how much shit we're in if they have to load shed at this time of the morning. Really, no, it's very, very bad.
I had it the other night from midnight until 4:30. And I can't sleep during that time because of my sleeping Jesus. But I must tell you, yesterday I was expecting load shedding. And when my fan turned off, then I knew, you know, the electricity was off. So I just decided to resort to lying on my bed and playing games on my phone type thing. And I did that for a long time until I realized that the lights on certain appliances were on, like my printer. And then I realized that the dog had just unplugged the fan.
You sat there thinking you had load shedding, but it was actually a dog.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Damn it.
You just wasted a chunk of time there.
Oh, hugely.
You know, I don't want to turn this into a bitching session so early on a Monday morning, but one can amuse themselves a little over a weekend. You can find things to do. You can chill with family. You can read. You can somehow. But on a weekday, when so many of us are still relying on working from home, what are we to do now?
We would do okay if it wasn't for the fact that we can't get Wi-Fi when there's no electricity. And that wasn't always the case, if you remember. We used to be able to get, like, at least signal on our phone and that sort of thing. But now it just depends on which tower you're near. So,
again, I agree with Sia. We don't want to turn this into a bitching session because we've got actual things to talk about and it's Monday and we don't want to start the week on a bad note. But apparently when the power goes out, when there is load shedding in an area, then those towers are also affected and they've got battery, but the signal's much reduced. So I'm looking at my screen now and I've got like two bars on my cell phone. And that's what's powering everything this morning through on my side. So it's not ideal. Anyway, it is Monday. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you had some time to relax. Yesterday was so bloody hot. I was trying to sleep in, and it was too hot to sleep. You know where you have to get up because it's just crazy, crazy warm. And actually, when I got up straight out of bed and went to the pool and just jumped in, it was the only way to sort things out and level out the, you know, the imbalance in the universe where I was boiling, boiling hot, but I was trying to sleep late. So,
and then the world was right again.
Yeah, no, it felt better, felt much better. James says he thinks that someone from Parliament lives in his road because there's no load shedding there ever. Okay, so that'll help.
You get those pockets. You get those pockets of areas where some people never have load shedding.
Sure. Well, there's lots of stories in the news this morning. There's lots of things to talk about in the world. This is the week of the inauguration of very old Joe Biden and harpy-voiced Kamala Harris. So, good luck to both of them. I'm sure it's going to be terrifically exciting.
Are you going to be watching?
All of you can't wait. I didn't watch Trump's one.
No.
So probably I, I don't think I will. And this one is going to be so weird because they've got massive, massive security, right?
All 50 states already.
I don't even know if they're going to, if anyone's, I don't even know if there are going to be that many people who want to go to Washington in the first place. You're probably not going to be able to be security checked. And listen, I don't even know if there are that many people who supported Biden in the first place. I mean, they obviously all stayed at home, so they're not going to come out for the inauguration.
Let's also remember we still have to practice social distancing. So what we've become accustomed to in an occasion like this is to have a full day of festivities. You know, there'll be a news network who broadcasts from Washington, D.C., and then they jump to President-elect's hometown to see what the gatherings are happening there. And then they'll go to New York and see what people are doing there. There'll be none of that now. So what I saw last week sometime was that Tom Hanks is going to host some long virtual program across a number of news networks. I think, I don't know, there's some highfalutin name that they came up with around it. Like
syndication.
No, like the name of the program is like World and Union. Oh. You know, Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so it will be, Tom Hanks.
Sounds a bit desperate.
So it will be Tom Hanks hosting, and then there'll be some musicians presumably broadcasting from home or somewhere, and that will lead up to the actual ceremony.
I think it's probably going to be a huge damp squib. Anyway, let's hope they figure themselves out and make something out of nothing.
I might have watched I might have watched if Trump was there, just to see what his sort of reaction would be through the whole thing, because we know that he's not faring very well at the moment mentally with all of this.
Well, of course not, because he doesn't have his favorite thing is toilet Twitter. So
there were reports that Mike Pence would still make it to the inauguration.
Yeah, probably. But look, I don't care. I mean, I'm really, like I said last week on the Burning Platform, this funny thing has happened to me where I've just decided, okay, you know, America is such a disappointment. After those Capitol riots, that's where I was like, you know what? I wouldn't watch the Ugandan elections because I think that they're a banana republic. And although I don't think America's elections are banana republic, what I saw at the Capitol 2 weeks ago made me think it felt like a banana republic. So I was like, well, I don't want to watch the inauguration in a country that behaves like that. That's how I'm feeling at the moment. Anyway, there's other stuff going on too, which is much more local and much more important. I don't know if you saw over the weekend, but there's this this breaking, sweet Jesus, I don't even know what to say about it. Apparently they've been accused of rape by not just one, but a couple of women. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, bad, ugly story. And I mean, Jesus.
I think you
where do you broke, start to unpack things like
you,
this?
You broke up there, but I don't know, Sia, if you agree with me, that we didn't hear the names of the people involved.
I assume it's
Fresh and Euphonic.
Yeah. Yeah. So also it's from, when was it? 2011, am I right?
Sure. That's 9 years
ago. Yeah. I mean, that still doesn't, you still have every right to come forward if something has happened that far back. But I always wonder why it takes a person so long. But anyway.
Yeah, they've always, oddly or unfortunately, had these allegations follow them for quite a while, where there's smoke, there's fire, in my opinion, but I don't know. What has become of the situation this time around is that a young lady on Twitter tweeted out her experience or what she says had happened, what already has a lot of people raising their eyebrows and not understanding exactly where to go from here is the fact that she says she doesn't even know who it was. So she says she was she had something to drink or she was tipsy and it's a bit hazy now. So she doesn't even know if it was Fresh or Euphonic.
Or both. She also says she was drunked. I don't know if she meant drugged or if she was given too much alcohol.
She made note of the fact that she was a virgin and this is how she lost her virginity. But the fact that things are so hazy and there's no concrete evidence, I think that's how it, I don't see it playing out in court. And so I don't know how it's going to work. But all we know is that Fresh and Euphonic and the platform they work for, Prime Media, released a statement over the weekend saying that they'll be stepping down from their respective shows.
Well, again, I mean, I'm not one of those believe all women people. I've always thought that that was an extremely stupid thing to say, believe all women, which became a thing during the Harvey Weinstein trial. I'm one of those people who, whether you like it or not, and there's nothing you can do about this, if you think I'm being unkind, then that's your business. But I'm one of those people who thinks evidence needs to be brought. If there isn't any evidence, how do you know it's not an extortion attempt? How do you know it's not some attempt by somebody who had an unfortunate, maybe they had an affair, maybe they had an experience, maybe something did happen, but now she's cut up about it and wants money. There's as much likelihood of that as there is that there was a malicious criminal rape that took place. And I'm very, very suspicious of these things, particularly, and I know that, you know, there's no statute of limitations on something like this anymore. There used to be, because obviously the longer you wait, the less evidence you have, the less fresh evidence you have of what actually happened. And if you wait 11 years or 10 years or 9 years or whatever this is, then your chances of being able to prove that something happened are much smaller. Your chances of being able to prove it become diminished over time. Now, that's not to say that it didn't happen, but if it did, it is up to the person who alleges it to bring the evidence, which means, you know, if you were Monica Lewinsky and you didn't have the blue dress, we wouldn't believe you. And I'm terribly sorry, but I've heard as many occasions where there has been a situation where a woman has legitimately not been asked for consent and something terrible has happened to her. Some guy's taken advantage of her. I've heard of just as many cases where it's an attempt at extortion, or even just a hurt, wounded emotional experience where that guy or girl then takes it out on the partner because they're hurt and makes it sound like it was rape, even though it was just rejection. So we've all heard these stories. I'm not a believe all women or believe all men guy. I want evidence, please.
Yeah, I'm exactly on the same page as you. And I mean, I don't stand up for all women when I talk, but I think it's important to note that not all women think the same way and think, oh, it's definitely the man's fault. I'm 100% for evidence, and I completely see that it could be a number of other things.
And I know
as well.
we're and the three of us are probably biased in favor of certainly Fresh, who's a friend of mine and who I've known for years and who I've always had a lot of time and respect for. I don't know that you know, he's a bad person, and I'm not going to say that he's a bad person because that's not my experience with him. But certainly if something happened, if in the heat of the moment a few years ago something took place, or if it was just downright straightforward, him taking advantage of a girl and there was no other factor that played a role in this, that's certainly something that I wouldn't have associated with him before. But what do I know? And Dogozo says he's had to defend himself one too many times. I think there's a bit of a tricky one. Sure, of course it's a tricky one. I didn't even know if I wanted to talk about it, frankly.
I wonder how it's going to play out, even just in terms of the court of public opinion or legally, because what I think makes a physical abuse charge so much easier is that you see it. You see a victim physically beat up. You know, the evidence is right there.
Sure.
Or in a Katlego Maboy situation, we saw Katlego on video confessing. You know, you have that. In something like this, what concrete evidence do you hold on to?
Yeah, very difficult. And the other thing...
Go ahead.
The other thing to consider is that it's a very real thing. Memories fade. Our memory starts to fail us from both sides. So when you're dealing with facts and times and figures, all those things have become blurred, or you've replaced them through your time of trauma with incorrect evidence.
Has something like that ever happened to you guys?
I'll tell you something.
Where you now end up, well, even if something unfortunate does happen or doesn't happen, but you start to make notes of the time. Like, there are times if I hear something in the middle of the night, I'm like, okay, there's an intruder coming in. What time is it? What's the date? I need to have the facts. Because now we've been conditioned.
And you know what they've done? They've proven in innumerable experiments that human memory is actually completely unreliable. In fact, even lawyers will tell you this. Because you bring someone in, and you bring someone else in, you've got two people telling the story about how an accident happened. And they're both witnesses, so they weren't even involved in the accident, but they were watching it. And the two people have a completely different memory of what, and this is something that could have happened like last week, and they don't know what the hell happened. In other words, you sometimes get someone to write an affidavit straight after something's taken place. And, it, you know, the police sign it and stamp it so that it has a date and time stamp. And then they say, on the affidavit, X, Y, and Z happened. And when they come to court, they go, A, B, and C happened. And you're like, but you wrote X, Y, and Z in the affidavit. No. That's not what I remember. So it just proves that the same person who was there at the same occasion will have a completely different recollection from a different person at the same occasion, or even themselves a couple of months later.
Yeah. You can, without any malicious intent.
Your memory is completely made up.
Yeah, without any intent to do so, your memory can replace bits of itself with new stories or new information, and you don't even realize that it's happening. I mean, you look at the Oscar trial, and I'm not in any way comparing this to anything. I'm talking about the evidence that people gave afterwards, where there were some people who said, I heard screaming. Sure. Some said, I heard one shot. Some said, I heard three shots.
Yeah.
You even in a short space of time, your memory plays with itself.
So, look, there's a joke there.
Whatever,
knowledge.
Go on, you have to. You have to. This show, we're not PC. Go on.
I don't blame your memory for playing for itself. It's nice.
Oh, man. You know, also, I've got to say, like, those were some pretty hectic and crazy days. And I remember DJing with Fresh at parties, and women were throwing themselves at him and at me. And you don't know, because you're the big celebrity at these events. And I mean, we were in our, what, now 30s. I think he was in his maybe his early 40s already by then. I'm not sure. Fact is, we were having a good time. And there was lots of good time to be had. People were drinking. People were taking all kinds of other stuff. Although I guarantee you there was a lot less of that then than there is now. There were beautiful, beautiful girls who were seemingly up for a good time. And I'll tell you straight up, I'm always very, very careful. I'm always extremely cautious because I don't want to end up in situations like this. But there are occasions when I think back and I go, I'm not entirely sure what happened that night, you know? Mm-hmm. And as long as no one was hurt, as long as no one felt that they were being taken advantage of, as long as no one was being abused, then I'm confident that it was all good fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone suddenly came forward now and said, oh, this happened and that, I would have to scratch my head and, you know, I'd be so nervous about anything like that because you just don't know. And it could be just pure attempted extortion.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, if the tables were turned, if I think about myself, if you had to go back to a point in my life and question me about a sexual experience with someone when I'd been partying and, drinking and whatever, I'd be very nervous to try and remember all the details and defend myself. Jeez.
No. Yeah. I wouldn't feel confident about talking about what happens when you're under the influence of alcohol because none of us can really remember too much of the detail when you're in that situation.
Yep.
And I mean, this is also, you know, this is why I'm a massive, massive fan of women coming forward and opening up and telling the truth about what's happened to them and of them outing men who are genuinely bad people. right? Like Harvey Weinstein. I think that's terrific. I think it's also good that men know that there are consequences to predatory behavior. But I have to say, this is making ordinary people who are not predatory. I'm not referring to me here. I'm referring to all of us collectively. Makes anybody difficult. You don't know what's going to happen, hey? You don't know, because you could think that everything is good in the moment and that everyone is consenting and that it's all perfectly
I've lost Gareth.
Yeah, we seem to lose Gareth every now and then.
I thought he was getting into a point then. I thought, no, too much of a lag now. Don't know what to say. All right, well, we'll try to get Gareth back. Let's just figure out what's going on. There we go. Gareth, we have you back.
Oh, sorry, I thought I'd lost you for a second.
We lost
anyway,
you.
It is time for headlines. Yeah, I said that you've got to be careful about believing someone and jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we've
right
had...
You end up in a situation later on where you look an idiot for...
We've had these conversations. We've had guests on this show. We've had guests on So What Now, who speak about, you know, consent and rape and where those lines stand. And I have to say, after all of that, I still don't know. I really still don't know on where we stand or how we move on forward as society. Because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to have, I don't know how we're going to just have normal kind of sexual and emotional relationships with the ease that we used to have them. And maybe it wasn't always easy. Maybe that's my marble woman. It wasn't. Who knows?
Hmm.
All right, let's listen to this quickly. Let's get into some headlines. COVID-19 negatively impacts ESCOM. Did you know this?
How's that
no
possible?
Idea.
I mean, now because of fucking ESCOM. But they are hoping for a return. Service of some generation units has been delayed. Besides the delays in maintenance, COVID-19 has also impacted the utility significantly. Apparently, their spokesperson said definitely ESCOM has been impacted and its suppliers.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they say one of their suppliers that's doing maintenance at Medupi, where there are 78 employees, 46 of them this week tested positive for COVID-19. So now, how convenient that a shit show like ESCOM is using this as an excuse as well.
Yeah, if everything
making
was right,
it worse for everybody else. You know what? So if those people have tested positive, find others.
Yes.
Bullshit,
people are unemployed in this
country. So if you're wondering why we're sounding and exactly, and I'm sure that there are people who can do this. Carl says that if you're wondering why it sounds different, he says, my toilet actually has pretty good acoustics. Well done on making a plan. I'm actually not in my toilet, but thank you. The acoustics here are not so bad. Someone is saying, extend the curfew from 9 to 11 p.m. City of Cape Town urges the government. Well, they're calling for an extension. Why? Because they say... many businesses are battling to stay afloat during the second wave of COVID-19. The city said businesses across the value chain barely scraped through the first round of lockdowns, and many are now facing closure due to restricted and reduced trading hours. Yes, well, guess what? This was going to happen. I hate to say I told you so, but yes, it's happening. So the lost trading hours has pushed many sectors to the edge. Many are battling to retain consumers, pay bills, or keep staff employed.
They want the curfew from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m.
No, they want
they said
the curfew to start at 11 instead of starting at 9.
Okay.
So, and I mean, if you think about Cape Town as well and how different their weather is to Gauteng, especially in summer, it's light until much later. I mean, shops could be trading until much later very successfully.
I think they should just scrap the stupid curfew right now. I don't understand the purpose of it. I really
don't. Yeah, I'm finished with it, hey?
Stupid, purposeless. It is a means for government to do what they cannot do normally, a little bit better because they've made the whole of society conform to them. We are now an internment camp, effectively. From 9 p.m. at night until 6 in the morning, we are an internment camp. We are all in a concentration camp, and I've had fucking enough. It's enough of this. It's stupid. It is pointless. And I'm not going to be one of those people who complies with this for very much longer. And I saw, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, but the police raided some shebeen and they actually got attacked by the people who were running the shebeen, and the police had to evacuate and run away. And I think that's, I don't like lawlessness, just like I didn't like it in America 2 weeks ago. But let me tell you something, people are at breaking point and they're going to start taking matters into their own hands. And it's going to become more and more dangerous for police to go into certain places because the people there have had enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then as if all of that isn't enough to deal with, EWN reporting that motorists have been warned to prepare for a petrol price increase next month. Well, that's if you're even traveling much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Apparently an 80 cent per liter. 80 cent per liter, 81 cents a liter for diesel from next month. The AA is predicting petrol is going to go up. The association spokesperson Leighton Beard said the problem with all of this is international oil prices have been climbing each day. Increasing activity in global markets has taken the price high.
So, okay. So I pay 200 rand a month for petrol at the moment.
What?
Yeah, I do. And you believe
it? That's not so bad.
That's it.
Well, you're not traveling a lot, right?
Definitely not. Yeah.
How crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Here's a pretty wild story. In Johannesburg, police in Gauteng have arrested two suspects for the possession of hijacked vehicles, unlicensed firearms, and ammunition. Follows a multidisciplinary operation in Sharpeville, where two hijacked luxury cars, 10 firearms of varying calibers, and multiple rounds of ammunition were seized. The arrest comes after police responded to a hijacking and kidnapping earlier this week, and it's understood the driver was allegedly kept hostage at the house and was released a few hours later by the suspects. Police's Matapelo Peter said a team led the search on the premises, and there were several AK-47s, explosives, signal jammers, and housebreaking equipment, which was all discovered there. So they have arrested the people, and they're going to appear in court on Monday today.
Well, things are happening in that side of the world. Sharpeville this weekend, last weekend it was the church being raided. Who knew?
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad about this the Sharpeville thing, but the churches being shut down, a different matter entirely. I think it's time to let people start doing their thing. Rescuers say that 12 miners have been trapped underground after an explosion in a Chinese gold mine, and they're still alive. State media reports the workers managed to send a note to rescuers 7 days after the incident. The fate of another 10 miners missing after the explosion remains unclear. Mining accidents in China are not uncommon and are often due to poorly enforced safety regulations. The 22 were trapped at the Hushan mine near Yantai in Shandong province in eastern China on the 10th of January after an explosion damaged the exit and communication systems, which was still under construction.
Mm-mm.
So it's all those people who would go, oh my God, but China managed to build a holiday a hospital in like a week. And it's incredible. China's incredible. Yeah, they also managed to have regular mining accidents because they don't give a shit about the people who are working underground. But we'll leave that to the side for the moment.
Yeah.
Oof. I don't know how you survive for days on days without food down there.
Yeah.
Often people don't.
Horrific death. You know?
So here's a story from Janet, and I think this is quite interesting based on what we were talking about just before. Janet says, somebody close to me was dating a girl who later became the wife of a very well-known soccer player. She was very possessive and made the short time that they dated together hell. He made the decision to break up with her. She freaked out, and a couple of days later he was arrested on charges of rape. Now we know the character of this guy, as I say. He's very close to us. The case was eventually thrown out on account of people coming forward to speak of her instability. This was later proven publicly. It's all too common where a scorned woman cries wolf, and that pisses me off, says Janet. Not saying this is the case here, just something that annoys me. So making the point there, which I think a lot of us feel.
Mm-hmm.
And James says, I met a woman who works for the company that imports the COVID tests. They pay 70 Rand for one test, and we pay around 850 for the same test.
Oh, delightful.
Interesting. Yeah.
Sure. Quite a markup there.
How and why that's the case?
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of vaccine discussion going on too. I'm sure. Well, I suppose they're just hoping for a return to, in inverted commas, normality. See, I think that's what they want. And they reckon that if they've had the vaccine, then they can go back to living their normal life. Then they're the people who are like, never, I'll never take it. It's a government conspiracy and blah, blah, blah. And those people are equally crazy on the other side. And then there are people in the middle who go, well, I wonder if it isn't 100%. And they've got questions. You know, it's all happened very quickly. And I suppose many people want to know the answer to some very straightforward questions about this. And then they get called anti-vaxxers, which isn't fair either, right?
Mm.
So you've got to decide where you are.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be either or? Why can't you just be somewhere in the middle questioning everything?
That's it. That's where I think most of us are. But it's the extremists on both sides who make us in the middle feel like we're stupid. You know, they say the anti-vax people, the lunatic government conspiracy, I'm never going to take the COVID vaccine people. They're the ones on the one side saying, if you are even prepared to take this, you're some kind of government stooge. And then the people on the other side are like, well, if you're even prepared to question this, then you must be some kind of anti-vaxxer. And I'm like, no. I don't think most of us are either of those positions. Most of us are quite chilled about it.
We'll
take it when it becomes available, you know. But we're not going to rush to the front of the queue when there are people who are much more needy, like very old people or very sick people who need it a lot more than we do.
Yeah. I think I've got 2 points on this. And the first one is that we need to remember that there's probably a huge markup on vaccinations, because a lot of that money goes back into research, and that I'm absolutely fine with. The other thing is that I see Oki posted a link here to a story that I've already read, and that's that 29 elderly people died in Norway after taking one of the vaccines. When I say elderly, they were actually in their 80s and had comorbidities already. And what happened was that there's no clear link between the vaccine and them just dying. It seemed to exacerbate some underlying conditions that they already had, which were not linked to COVID. So, again, that's where we sit. We sit in the place of, we're still learning. We're looking out for these stories, but I think, educating yourself and being aware and not panicking. So aware and not anxious about all of this is the way to go.
Yeah, I'm not anxious about it at all. I'll take it if it becomes available. I'm not particularly nervous about it. I think vaccines have saved humanity in a number of very tight situations, with polio, with smallpox. And I think vaccinations are usually a good idea. But I think that the sooner we can get the wheels of the economy going, the better. That's much more of a problem to me than whether or not I have a vaccine. I just want to quickly address these questions. Cabello and Snae and Carl all asking about why I'm not on camera this morning and why I sound different. Well, I'm broadcasting from a different room on 3G through my phone because I've got load shedding. Well done, Eskom. It's terrific. So that's why And if I put my camera on, it takes up more bandwidth than is necessary, and then you end up not hearing me or seeing me. So I'm not going to switch it on right now.
Good.
No, I was load shed over the weekend, and I have not read this much in a while. Yes, we all try to read, and some are greater readers than others. You know, I'm not an avid reader that much. I went through like 100 pages in an hour and some change. I thought, whoa, look at me becoming Einstein. Here we go.
Yeah, you've definitely got it in you. It's amazing how when you pick it up, you immediately start to read faster and faster the more you read.
Oh, that was a great picture book. I loved coloring in.
Well, I watched a movie over the weekend. While there was load shedding, I had my laptop and I thought, well, okay, I can watch this on here. And it was during load shedding on, I think, Saturday night, because I didn't have anything on. And I watched the movie about Robert de Bruce, which was released in 2019. So it's been around for a while now. But I've got to tell you, it was the most boring movie. Nothing actually happened. It's all about how this is in the early 1300s. Robert de Bruce was king of Scotland. And it was all about how for a while he disappeared. Into the highlands, and he took refuge in the villages and towns of Highland Scotland while the English were trying to root him out, and you know his opponents in the Scottish nobility were trying to get rid of him, and he ended up staying with his family. And it's so boring, though. I mean, I was like, I kept waiting. I watched this movie for an hour and a half, maybe a little bit more. I kept waiting for something to happen, like a battle or a great triumph, or it was just so fucking weak. And whoever made that movie, you either chose bad subject matter in Robert the Bruce, because unless you'd gone to the Battle of Bannockburn at the end, which is where he did triumph over the English, which they didn't in this movie, it all ended with him like pitching up at his friend's camp. And then they like reunited. And I was like, what a boring, boring, boring story. I think I've had a more interesting life than Robert the Bruce up to this point, Frank.
That's an anticlimax.
Yeah, horrendous. So don't watch that movie.
I've started watching The Ripper, which is a short series on not Jack the Ripper, but they called him the Ripper because of Jack the Ripper. But this occurred in England, in Northern England, in the 1970s, mid-1970s. So, I know, Gareth, that you don't necessarily enjoy watching these true crime dramas.
No.
But it's just so interesting and so frustrating to know how much we couldn't do back then in terms of DNA and, you know, finding out how people were part of a crime because of their DNA. There was nothing like that. It was all about fibers and filaments and fingerprints, and that was it. And when you're dealing with blood and seminal fluid, it's, you know, they missed such a big part of investigative technology.
Well, Tracy says, don't you just hate it when a good friend recommends a movie saying it's the best thing they've ever seen, and then when you watch it, you're like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yes.
2 hours of my life I can't get back. Well, there are two friends of mine who have done that before, and I just don't take their recommendations seriously anymore. They're very nice people, and they're lovely to talk to, and I get along with them famously, but the fact is they have just shit taste in music, movies and music, frankly. Not just movies. But when they tell you that a movie's good, you just know, don't watch that. It's total dross.
Yeah, I don't want to listen to anyone. Horrible. I don't want to listen to anyone anymore who says, oh, no, it's just slow to get into. But once you're into it, it's really No.
I was waiting. This Robert the Bruce was slow to get into for the first 2 hours.
Just a waste of your time. I watched quite a twisted documentary over this weekend. I want to say it's twisted, but then in some parts I felt like it was heartwarming. And then there was a period I just had my jaw to the ground. It's called Tell Me Who I Am, the story of twins in the UK. And this happened in the 80s where the one twin got into an accident, bumped his head on the ground and was in a coma. He wakes up and he sees his twin brother and was able to recognize him, but knows and remembers nothing else from his life before. He was 18 years old when this happened. He didn't remember his parents. He didn't remember his family home. He had to learn everything again, how to ride a bike, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
But it is, and then, so he relies on his brother to teach him everything again about life. But it is when he finds a photo of him and his brother at around 10 years old, naked, but with their heads chopped off from the photo in a cupboard in his mother's bedroom, that he realized, oh, hang up, wait a minute, my brother is hiding something about my life.
Oh, shit.
So he dun, starts
dun, dun, oh, my God.
Yes. So he starts pushing his brother for questions. This is after both their parents have now passed away. And he finds out that actually they were horribly molested as kids, oh, by his mother. His mother would then like farm them out to other pedophiles. And his brother was actually saving him from, you know, from this
all that
reality.
Memory.
Shit.
Oh, wow. That's
so you're like, oh, it's so sweet that his brother was helping him, but damn, how screwed up that this happened to him. It is, yeah, I don't advocate it, so I don't know if I should say watch it or
no,
not.
No, I don't want to watch that.
Sure,
no,
that's
I don't
heavy,
want to
man.
That sounds horrendous.
Oh, Tell Me Who I Am, it's on Netflix. It was, yeah, interesting, to say the least.
Hmm.
Tracy suggests here that Leanne should watch Room 2806 on Netflix. It's about Dominic Strauss-Kahn. He was the head of the IMF, but he was dodgy as hell.
Yes,
so that sounds interesting.
Well, I've already noted it. Thanks, Tracy.
La Révolution, which is on Netflix, Linda says is terrific. And Tracy also says she watched that same story you did, Sia. Tell me who I am.
Yeah.
And it is so bizarre. She says she watched it too. It's very heavy. I'm not into those things. Huh? I don't want to watch a movie about someone who discovers that they've had some dark past or they lose their memory and someone else has to help. Those kinds of things freak me out so much. I don't know why, but I can't watch them. It's like when I watch these movies about people who are wrongfully accused and they end up being like put to death or going to jail. It just drives me crazy. I can't watch them.
If they're based on true stories or they are true stories, then I definitely want to watch them. But if they're just made up, if they're just fiction, then I'm not interested. But I also watched a documentary on twins
scary.
And triplets who were separated from each other growing up for testing by Nazis. And how these twins and triplets have reunited in their late 40s after figuring out via someone who saw them in a bakery that they had a twin. How the people who adopted them never knew that they were twins, and how people who adopted them would have taken on the other twin gladly if they could have. And just how these people have been robbed of having that one person in their life who's so special to them.
Imagine if you found out that you had a twin and they had been, they'd grown up somewhere in like, I don't know, Bangladesh or Japan or somewhere far away, and you didn't even know they existed. And then one day you walked into a shop and you were paying for something at the till, and the person behind you in the queue was exactly your twin and looked exactly the same as you. I think that would probably be one of the scariest things that could happen to me.
Completely. You know what?
Yeah, I'd shit myself.
One of the things it's not anxiety that makes me think this way. I just think in general, I would hate to have these moments in life. There's a line in a Toni Morrison book where she says, "It stripped me of all I knew." You know, when you have a moment like that in life, when you realize your whole life has been a lie.
That's a hell of a thing to say.
You know, your husband has been cheating on you for 20 years, or you find out that your father isn't your father, or your child.
Yeah.
I don't want to have that in life. I like my life.
That happens to a lot of people. I think what was so interesting about these twins and triplets that were separated, they actually had a sense that they were twins in some way. So, for instance, one of the twins that was spoken to is always talking about how when she was growing up, she fantasized about having a twin sister. And when she spoke to her friends about it, they said, "We don't think about that." And she kept on saying, "That's exactly what I think about." I see Gareth has left the room. Let's hope he's back in a few. But that was fascinating for me, that they had this innate sense that they had a twin. And when they finally found out, it made so much sense.
And then how do you move on, though? Start to put the pieces together of your life when you know this has happened. What happened to them?
Well, they feel see like each a lab other. Right, yeah, they see each other often, but they realize they've been robbed of having the joy of being a twin, which is something that if you aren't one, can't understand. Having that person that is so close and a part of you. And it's something that you'll never get back over time. The two women have become too different from, you know, and the worst is that, you know, the whole experiment was about nature versus nurture. And these scientists would come to the kids' homes, do research and tests, but those papers have never been found again. The Nazi guy who was running it has since died, and they don't know where his works are. So it was all for nothing that these twins were separated. That's where we find ourselves.
They were separated and their lives were screwed. Gareth, do we have you back? Okay, seems like we don't have Gareth back just yet. Well, I think we should go on a song break. It is almost 7 o'clock, and hopefully then we'll have Gareth back. We would have sorted all things out. But yeah, it's a shaky Monday, but it's a Monday nonetheless. We'll still go on and move on with things. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.